How are you?
Are you good?
Are you feeling flexible today? Yeah, a little bit flexible. Are you? Because I need you to be flexible this morning. This is gonna be a little bit different. A little bit different than the usual. So if you know anything about me, the people who know me, they know that I am very, I like things a certain way. So for example, when I come here and I lead worship, I like to have sheets with all the chords and all the instructions, knowing where we go and all of that. When I do a homework, when I do a preaching, I like the same. I like studying and knowing before, and I like having a structure on my sermon, introduction, then the body, then the conclusion. And I had all of that. I prepared this week. I was reading and I was going to preach on Ruth. And yesterday night, I was like, I like to, because I'm just starting, I like to practice preaching to nothing. So I went out for a walk and I was just there practicing my preaching. And I just felt that God was asking me to preach on something else. I'm like, no, please, please, no. Like, I already have everything. I already planned everything. I have some cool stories for the other preaching. And I was just preaching and nothing. I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't feeling that that was where God was leading me. It was a good sermon, I think. But there was nothing. And I went to bed last night with nothing, absolutely nothing. And I was like, Jesus, it's all on you. I have nothing to prove, but it's all on you. So, but thank God he's faithful. So that's why I'm asking you to be flexible, because this might not be as organized, as polished as I would like to. But I'll rather preach an unpolished sermon with the Spirit than preach a really good polished sermon just without it. So I want you to go to your Bible and Numbers 13, 27 to 30. Again, it's Numbers 13, 27 to 30. The title of this message is The Birthplace of Dreams. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. I have the NLT version, so it might be a little bit different from what you have, but it says, this was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Mediterraneans, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. He said, let's go at once, take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Why don't we pray? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you're doing this morning. I ask you to be you who is speaking this morning. I don't want it to be my words. I don't want it to be my message, but your message and your words speaking through me. I ask you to come in this place and to whatever extent use me to preach your word. In your name, we pray. So, when I was a teenager, and I was at school, I was a smart kid, and I'm not trying to boast, but I was really good. For example, at exams, we will have to study. Me and my sisters had exams, each one on their grade, I will be the only one not studying. And I will come that morning, I will read, and I will go with my exam and have an A. And this was good. The only problem is that I abused that. When I was a teenager, when I was a kid, and when you're in elementary school in Mexico, exams are 100% of your grade. So that was perfect. I was an A straight A student, and it was good. But when I went to junior high school, things changed because now work has a percent in your grade. And I wasn't very diligent at it. I wasn't good at it. I was kind of lazy. And because I trust so much on my intelligence to do the exams, I was good at it. So I start failing, and my parents had to take TV out and the iPod and whatever. So it was a hard season. Later I learned. But while I was there, I remember there will be days and the teacher will say, okay, your notebook is due on Friday. And I had nothing. I absolutely nothing. I didn't work at all. I don't know what I was doing at school. Probably losing time some way or another. But I had nothing. And I remember that in those days when I knew something was approaching, I was really, really hoping to get sick. I was like, if I can just get a flu, if I can just get a fever, then I don't have to school, and they don't have to know that I didn't do anything. And then the teachers are kind of more kind to you when you're sick, so it's like, oh, it's okay, don't worry, bring it to me later. So I was really hoping I'd get sick. So it will be funny when we will be, because sometimes it will happen, we will be in front of the doctor, and the doctor will be like, I'm sorry, but Ricardo has fever, or Ricardo has this. And I remember that was supposed to be bad news or sad news. I mean, who likes to be sick? But for me, I was jumping with joy inside. I was like, yes, I don't have to go to school. But I had to hold it in because my mom was there, and she couldn't see that I got so happy because I got sick. But it's funny how on something like sickness, a person can have different perspectives just because of their situation. A long time ago, there were two prisoners in jail, and they both had the same window. And one of them, every time he looked at the window, he looked the bars of the jail. But the other prisoner, every time he looked at the window, he looked at the stars. So it just shows us that two people can be looking at the same thing, but have just completely different perspectives. And this is what was happening. The nation of Israel, they were trying to get to the land that God promised them. And they sent, before they all went there, they sent 12 spies. And these spies went, and their job was to look at the land and to see and to bring back news. So that's what we just read. 10 of those spies came back, and they say, it is as beautiful as they told us. It's amazing. It says it flows with milk and honey, that it meant it's just a really good land. But then they had a perspective, and their perspective was, but it is impossible for us to get it. There is no way we can go there. There is no way we can conquer it. They have 45 cities. And it's just simply not for us. But then Caleb was a person with a different perspective. Caleb was there and he said, let's go take it at once. Let's go right now and take it. We can certainly conquer it. We can do it. And today what I want to preach about is the thing that differentiated Caleb from the rest. The thing that made him different. And though he was looking at the same thing, his perspective was totally different. And that thing is hope. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear hope, there is many like really good words that we have as Christians that mean a lot. Let's say patience. faith, love, hope is one of them. And when I look at hope, I don't know why, maybe this is the way they have made us to think. And it just sounds like something cute, something like almost squishy. Oh, hope. It's so nice. And we name our kids like that, and it's good. But then when I think on faith, I think in something more like courageous, and they had faith to conquer that land. But hope is just so squishy. That's the word that comes to my mind. And I want to bring you a different perspective on hope. Because hope, for what our culture sees it, and in the English language, hope is like a wishy-washy feeling. It's like something you hope it becomes, but you are not sure. It's like, oh, I hope you get well. Oh, I hope you're okay. Or I hope I make it. And it's just like a feeling that is just very, very there, very out there. It's very unsure. But that's not hope in the Bible. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about something wild, about something that can change your life. Actually, like one of the biggest comparisons we have with hope is that hope is an anchor. And I don't want to go and squish an anchor. An anchor is a tool. An anchor is something heavy. An anchor is something that can determine if the boat is going to make it or no. So right now, I want to emphasize on that aspect of hope. That hope is something that can literally change your lives. Hope is something that can literally transform the way we see things. As I was planning this message, literally this morning, I felt that God was asking me to get personal and vulnerable in some things. And I was like, oh, like I really didn't want, because in the other message, it didn't require for me to do that, but in this one, it did. I don't know how many weeks ago, it was a Saturday, and Chad had to leave, and suddenly I was all alone. And due to certain circumstances in my life, I was feeling hopelessness crawling into my life. I was feeling kind of lost. I was feeling literally hopeless. It just feels how it's crawling in. It just feels how it's getting to you. And I was honestly kind of upset with God. I was like, why am I feeling like this? Why is this happening? And it took a while. And as I was feeling like this, I was praying and I was worshiping, trying to worship and trying to pray, I should better say. Because I was like, I don't really want to. I remember there was a song playing on the TV and it was King of My Heart. And I was like, I don't really want to sing that you're good right in this moment. Is that okay to say? Can I be vulnerable? I was like, I don't really feel like singing it, honestly. And that's when I remember one of the phrases that Jonathan says, and he's like, if we always wanted to do it, it wouldn't be called obedience. And I felt God was asking me to worship. And I'm like, I really don't feel like it. And the music was there, and I remember one of the things that has saved me through my life, or guided me through my life, is the phrase, when it's hard to worship, worship harder. And I want to talk to you about three things that I think that's where hope is built at. Three places where we've built hope. And the first one is hope is built in worship. I remember that day, I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to do it, but God was asking me to sing, not only to be there worshiping, but to sing. And after a while of wrestling with God, I just started singing. And I could literally feel how the peace of God came to my life. hope came to my life in a way I can't explain it. And I'm not saying to you, oh, if you worship for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you're going to have this amount of hope, because it's different for everyone. But I can assure you that every time when you're in a season, or when you're in a part when you feel so hopeless, worshiping God brings hope. Worshiping God, taking your eyes out of you and into Him, brings hope. The second one is hope is built in community. So that feeling of that day wasn't just there for one day. It was a long period, and honestly, I'm still kind of in that season when there is just days where I'm feeling a little bit hopeless, or when I'm feeling like I don't know what's going to happen. And I remember one of those days, I was with Chad, and I was just explaining him how I was feeling. And he said one phrase. And that one phrase is like the simplest phrase. It's like, it is not like super theological. But that phrase gave me so much hope. And that phrase was, the future is good. It's not like a big revelation, but just that phrase gave me so much hope. And I knew that if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have that phrase that gave me hope. Like talking to Jonathan, talking to Elisa, talking to different people. When we're surrounded by a community, like the church is, that's where we sometimes, when we don't feel like having hope, hope can come to us. So that's what church is about, right? Because not all of us feel 100% all the time. There is sometimes that you feel better and your neighbor is struggling, and that's when you can give hope. And there is times when they are 100% and you are maybe like 25. And that's why hope is built in community. The third one is hope is built in the Word. So this week, can I be honest again? I have trouble being diligent reading the Word. For me, it is an effort I have to make. Thank God, it's been progressing, but it is an effort. I think reading in general for me, it's an effort, but specifically like the Bible, sometimes it's just an effort. But this week I just saw so much fruit from studying the Bible that I haven't seen in a while. As I was preparing for the message, I was going to preach on Ruth, on the book of Ruth, and I studied that. I read books about Ruth, and suddenly the words on the scripture becoming real to me. They start making a difference. Suddenly, when I was going through something, I would remember, oh, but what happened to Ruth? What did she do? What happened to Naomi? How did they react? And it's part of that community, but it's also toward the Word of God. People who live lives, some of them, like the book of Naomi, you don't see any miracles. You don't see any big anything. It's just a normal life. And just seeing that and being encouraged by that can change your perspective and can give you hope. Now, I want to go for two things. What is hope for? This is our next question. What is hope for? And I have two big things on what I think hope is for. The first one is surviving. Hope is for surviving. I remember going back to that night, Saturday night, I was feeling really hopeless. I just felt how even depression was getting into my life. I just felt a weight on my shoulders. And you know what was my biggest fear at that moment? My biggest fear that night was that I wasn't going to be able to sleep. That was my biggest fear. I didn't care about tomorrow. I didn't care what I'm going to do in a year. I didn't care what I'm going to do in 3 years. My biggest fear was, am I going to be able to sleep at night? Or am I going to be awake, thinking, be concerned, be crying, be angry? Am I going to be able to sleep at night? And that was my prayer while I was praying to God, like, just please let me sleep at night. And after worshiping, I remember how, in a way I can't explain it, the peace of God settled in my heart. And that night I slept like a baby. I slept like I haven't slept in so many weeks. But at that point, hope wasn't about tomorrow at that point. At that point, hope wasn't about just making it to the next day, just surviving. And I believe there is people here, and everybody goes through those seasons. When there is seasons that are to look into the future and to be excited, and there is just times when you just want to make it through the day, when you just want to get to the next day, when you just want to survive the situation that you are going through. And the situation might be crazy, the situation might be not what you expected, and the only thing you want to do is make it to the next day. And I remember that through those days where the only thing I wanted was to survive, I was listening to this song all the time. And this song is called, it's by Bethel. It's called, You're Gonna Be Okay. And literally all the song says is, you're gonna be okay. Though the night is crawling in, you're gonna be okay. God has your back. You're gonna be okay. And at that point, that's all I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to know. It's, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna make it. But then I started noticing a difference. As I was proceeding to the days and I was letting God work in my life through that moment that felt so hopeless, I was going through the days and I remember one day I was just like, you know what? I don't want to listen that I'm going to be okay anymore because I know I'm going to be okay. Now I want to look into the future. And suddenly that song that was, You're Gonna Be Okay, I started listening to this other song that it's called Catch the Wind. And suddenly, that desire of just making it to the next day transformed into a desire to look into the future. And that's the second thing that hope is for. The second thing that hope does, it doesn't only help us to survive, but it helps us to live. And to live and to dream into the future. Suddenly, it wasn't anymore about surviving, and it was more about looking into the future and what God could do with my life. It wasn't only making it through the hopelessness of tonight, but looking of what can happen tomorrow and how God can use me tomorrow, how God can use this situation tomorrow. And to be honest, hope is something tricky, because hope can be as encouraging as it can be destructive. Hope can build you up and encourage you to take on the world, or it can destroy you. And you know what makes all the difference? All the difference is made by one factor: who we put our hope in. If our hope is in ourselves, we're not gonna make it. If your hope is in another person, no matter how good they are, sooner or later, they're going to fail you. If your hope is even in the people of the church, if your hope is in the pastor, if your hope is in your leader, if your hope is in your brother, in your father, it's going to come a point when they are going to fail you. And you're going to feel so shaken, because your hope is an anchor. Remember that. And if you put that anchor in a place where it's not going to be safe, all of you is going to shake. All of you is going to fear. But when we put our hope in God, that's when we can be sure. And that's why hope is not just a wishy-washy feeling, but hope is sureness. Hope is linked to faith, because hope is sure. Hope is knowing that whatever happens, that no matter how your circumstances right now, God is going to fulfill his dream. That no matter what you're going through right now, God is going to fulfill his dream for you. And that's what makes so hope so different. And I believe that this morning here, there is those two types of people. And it's okay because those are two are seasons. But there is the people who are saying, you know what? Right now, I'm in the storm. Right now, I'm in the circumstance. Right now, something just happened, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow. And I don't know what's going to happen. And God wants to bring hope to those people, saying, you're going to be okay. You are going to make it. You're going to sleep tonight. I'm holding you. I love the song we just played, King of My Heart. It says, when the night is holding on to you, God is holding on. And I believe that's one group of people that there is here today. And the second group is people who have gone through that, but then right now they want to start also hoping into the future. And I felt God was leading me specifically also for older people who have stopped dreaming about the future. And that's why people like Jonathan's parents and Pastor Bill, and I'm not saying he's old, but they encourage me so much because they're not old, but maybe they are not as young as they once were. And their hope, their vision for the future is just contagious. And I think that's what keeps him going. Knowing that there will be, that tomorrow will be better than today. And that's something we can all hope for. That's something we can all agree in. That as Christians, we have this belief that tomorrow will be better than today. Even if today is good, tomorrow will be better. Even if tomorrow we face a storm, tomorrow will be better because we'll be closer to God. So, why don't we stand up this morning? And I think for what I've talked, you already know which one are you. You already know if you are feeling right now like a time when you just want to make it to tomorrow. And I think that's okay for a season. I think that's a valid request to God. God, just tell me that I'm going to make it. Just tell me that it's going to be okay. And I believe there's people who have come out of that season, and they are now not only just hoping to survive, but they are asking God, give me new dreams. Or even they used to have dreams, or dreams they forgot about, but that God is bringing new dreams. God is bringing fresh, or God is bringing back the dreams that you forgot about. And I think everybody here falls in one of those categories. No matter how old, how young you are, hope is something tricky because it can encourage you to tomorrow. But it can also tear you down if we don't have it in the right place. So with that in your heart, I just wanna pray for us. God, thank you for who you are. In this moment, I ask you to bring hope to this place, to bring hope to the hearts of every person in this place, every person in this room. Hope that it's going to be okay. Hope that they're going to go through whatever situation they are feeling right now. But hope about tomorrow too. Hope of what it's about to come. Dreams, excitement for the future. I ask you to bring down hope for the people who feel hopeless this morning. For the people whose circumstances have shaken them, or who are people in the middle of the storm. I just ask you to bring a hope that we don't understand, a peace, but that hope can also become a birthplace for dreams, where we dream about the future, where we dream about what's about to come. I ask you to come in this place and fill our hearts with your hope.